Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you've had a wonderful weekend. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on Monday, June 30th. Coming up today, we'll hear from bosses at Kent Fire and Rescue after a number of blazes broke out over the weekend. We've also spoken to football legend Tony Adams, who was back on the pitch for the first time in more than 20 years for a charity match. But first, taking a look at our top story today. A man has died in hospital after falling ill at a Kent music festival. The 21-year-old was taken by ambulance from the drum and bass event at Dreamland Margate's QEQM on Saturday. Kent Online reporter Millie Bowles was at the event.
As soon as we got there, the security was really tight. We got there at about 3:30 and it did take us a while to get in, but it was like airport security, you know, different lanes. Everyone's bag was searched. Everyone's ID was checked. Like, that was true. We also had to walk past a drug sniffing dog on the way in, but I managed to get in a pack of just ibuprofen, which Dreamland does say on their website you're not allowed to bring in, but obviously there was just ibuprofen in it. And then, I mean, the atmosphere is quite amazing when you get in. I'm not a drum and bass fan. I'd never really listened to the music particularly before, but it is a really cool atmosphere when you get there. I mean, I can see why there's such a draw and appeal to it and why so many people want to go. But I mean, it was quite clear that some people were quite intoxicated from the start, and had maybe been drinking for a while. But in all honesty, everyone just seemed to be having a really nice time. We didn't see any fights. There was no sort of overcrowding. There could have been more shade to sit in. It was very hot on Saturday. A lot of people looked like the heat was starting to get to them. We saw a lot of medical staff. They were just sort of standing around, just watching people, you know, to and make sure that nothing was going on. And we saw some people being led off by medical staff. But it all seemed kind of very calm. I mean, how calm can it be when it's drum and bass music? But there was no kind of ruckus or chaos or madness that kind of fit the reports that we heard from last year. They shut the event down at about 20 to 6. So we were there for a couple of hours. And when they did it, they turned the music off. They shuttered down most of the bars, which is how we noticed something was going on, because the bars all kind of started shutting down. And then we approached a security guard to sort of ask him what's happened, why have they shut it down. And he said to us it was people drinking, the heat, drugs, and that they were running out of medical staff to cope with it all. So that was kind of the reasoning we were given, you know, on the day at the event. But as I say, it wasn't chaotic. It didn't look like they had become inundated with sick people from being in the crowd at the time. And obviously closing it down meant that, you know, thousands of people who wanted to listen to drum and bass music were now let kind of into the streets of Margate. But I mean, the police were brilliant. They were out in their droves on the seafront. There was a really strong kind of presence, and it definitely worked, because there was no fights, no one was angry and shouting. Like, everyone just kind of left and kept having a nice time, either on the beach or in other local bars. They got very busy very quickly, or they went home on the train. So I didn't see anything sort of kick off after the event shut down.
Kent Online News.
A motorcycle rider has died following a crash in Maidstone. Emergency crews were called to the A20 Terrace Road in the early hours of Saturday morning, close to the junction with White Rock Place. A man in his 30s died at the scene. Investigators want to speak to anyone who may have dash cam footage. The family of a man who died after being attacked by a group of teenagers in Herne Bay want anti-social behaviour in the town to be addressed. 73-year-old Raymond Foreman was targeted last December and died just weeks later. It's as there was a public meeting in the town last week where police pledged extra extra patrols on the streets to combat a rise in disturbances. A court heard how a homeless man from Dover was charged with having a lock knife despite using it to open tins of food in the tent that he lived in. Gavin Lockwood pleaded guilty to the offence and also admitted shoplifting from various stores after losing his accommodation. The 34-year-old has been ordered to attend rehab sessions and pay compensation. Police are hunting two suspected shoplifters after a security guard was threatened with a knuckle duster in Faversham. The victim was also subjected to racist abuse after challenging the man at a Tesco store in Crescent Road earlier this month. We've shared the CCTV images at Kent Online. Police have seized a caravan with no number plate being towed by an unlicensed driver on the M2. Officers also noted it had no operational light and damaged bodywork and suspected it had been stolen. The driver also only held a provisional license and had a child passenger that was unrestrained. It's not known if any arrests have been made.
Kent Online News.
It has been a busy time for Kent's firefighters with a number of blazes breaking out across the county. 9 fire engines have been sent to tackle a blaze in an agricultural building near Sevenoaks. It broke out on Winfield Lane in Borough Green yesterday evening. Crews spent more than 6 hours putting out the flames. No one was hurt and it's unclear how it started. Elsewhere, a fish and chip shop in Dymchurch has been forced to close after being damaged by fire. Crews were called to Beach 48 in the High Street in the early hours of yesterday morning. No one was injured and the cause is thought to be accidental. Firefighters have also been tackling a blaze at Joyden's Wood in Dartford. Specialist equipment was used there to put out the flames on Summerhouse Drive yesterday afternoon. No one was hurt and it's unclear how that one started. It says a fire has broken out in a kitchen in Faversham after items were accidentally left on a hob. Crews were called to a property on St Paul's Avenue yesterday. No one was injured, but we're being reminded to keep things like oven gloves and tea towels away from the cooker. A blaze has also broken out near Rochester after a bonfire was left unattended. Crews were called to a garden on Main Road in Hoo yesterday evening. They managed to put out the flames and no one was injured. Now, we've previously spoken to Kent Fire and Rescue about the dangers of fires and how we can stay safe in the warmer weather. Here's Group Manager James Kirk.
For us, obviously, we want people to have fun in the warmer weather, but we do see, unfortunately, occasions increasing barbecue safety around that kit, making sure barbecues are positioned safely. They're not close to properties or any kind of greenery. And some of the things we also just want an important point is just making sure they're not left unattended. That's the really kind of key messages for us. And the disposable barbecues, if people are using them, just making sure that they're completely extinguished and cooled down before being disposed of.
If, say, a disposable barbecue or a bonfire or something like that hasn't been properly extinguished, in hot conditions like we're about to see, how quickly can a barbecue go from under control to out of control?
Yeah, it's a good question. Yeah, very, very quickly, especially with dry conditions like this. The ground is dry, so the risk of fire spread with a slight breeze and warm, dry conditions like this, it can rapidly spread to a large fire.
And if somebody is in a situation where something has got out of control, a bonfire or a barbecue, say, what should they do?
Yeah, we always ask people just to stay safe, step out of the way of the incident, call 999 and we'll have resources on route. And just to also add in there as well, while we're discussing this around the water safety, it's also why we've got these really hot, dry, warm weather. We see some people find it's an attraction to jump into what looks like cooler water. But what we're trying to say to people is it does look nice and cool, but sometimes it is a lot colder than what it appears. And also with the tides, the currents, and sometimes hidden dangers underneath the water, we just really want to make sure that people stay safe. And if anyone does spot anyone on the water having any difficulties, to call 999 and ask for the fire service. And if it's on the coast or coastal areas, to call the Coast Guard.
Are we anticipating there's going to be sort of an increased risk of wildfires breaking out across this weekend? I mean, I know we've had a dry spring and quite a warm spring. Is that something that Kent Fire and Rescue are sort of prepping for?
It's always, we plan for this for demand. Obviously, like you said, in the summer months, we do see an increase of incidents with sort of dry conditions. So for us, we have a robust contingency plan which we can easily put into place that will allow us to get the right resources and the right people to the people of Kent. So for us, it's a step that we plan for well in advance every year. It's also, you probably, for people that see us out on incidents, For our crews as well, we've just introduced our latest wildfire PPE, which is a lightweight firefighting kit, which keeps our firefighters more cooler when they're attending incidents in this hotter weather. And we're also introduced a new range of all-terrain vehicles, so they've got a far more mobile to be able to get across fields and extinguish those fires that are sometimes more difficult for the fire engines to get to.
Kent Online News.
Plans for another extension to a business estate near Ashford have been given the go-ahead. A new building's going to be added to an empty plot of land next to Waterbrook Park in Sevington. Construction work is due to start later this year. Plans for a new housing estate near Canterbury have been given the go-ahead after a 28-year saga. 120 homes are going to be built on land north of Pope's Lane in Sturry. The plot was first earmarked by developers in 1997, but previous proposals have all fallen through. Now, if you live in Medway, you've got 6 weeks from today to say what you think about where new homes could be built. The council have voted in favour of their draft local plan, but now want residents' views. The document includes proposals for more than 24,000 properties by 2041. Nicola's been chatting to Medway Council leader Vince Maple.
The local plan is a challenge for any council. Medway's last local plan was passed and ratified more than 8,000 days ago, so it's well out of date. And for me, one of the things, and I said this last night, I reflect on the fact that as we go to bed tonight, there are nearly 1,000 children, Medway children, in temporary accommodation tonight. And actually having a local plan in place will help us, not overnight, but it will help us on the journey to bringing that number dramatically down, which I think every single resident in Medway would want to see.
Of course, you're going to get opposition to where some of the housing may go. I mean, as a Raynham resident, you see the bits on the map and you just think, can Raynham cope? But can Medway cope with this amount of housing?
Look, of course, a local plan, everyone focuses on the housing number, rightfully so, and it is important. But it's all aspects of it. It's about employment, it's about leisure space, green space, and that critical infrastructure. It was very disappointing that on my very first full day as council leader, just over 2 years ago, the previous government took £170 million of infrastructure funding away from Medway. That was disappointing. Look, we will continue to work hard to bring infrastructure funding to Medway. We're working closely with partners like the Health Service. We've got the James Williams Healthy Living Centre. And we're looking very closely at bringing additional support to get hospital services out of the Gillingham site to free up space there, but also to make sure that's more accessible to people across Medway. So, yeah, infrastructure, and often the majority view, I would say, is most people say, I'm not against housing, but I am against the infrastructure, which is already under pressure. And I absolutely understand that. And rest assured, this council will argue for that every single day.
George Perfect is leader of the opposition Conservative group at the council.
We acknowledge that the loss of the money, £150 million from the HIF bid, was disappointing at the time. We worked on that bid. We're concerned that now the new government hasn't committed any money to Medway. Of course, the previous Sunak government committed lots of funds, whether it be through the Levelling Up Fund. We received money for Brook Theatre, which will shortly be opening in the near future, and other money to provide for the University of Kent's docking station, etc. But we're concerned that there was no money within this plan for critical infrastructure, no commitment to opening new train stations or new road junctions from government. And to be honest, just lots of concern for us.
Do you think the number of houses that have been put forward is right, though? Is it just the infrastructure that's really concerning you?
I think the housing target from government is too high. I think a number of my councillors set out the reason why it's so high under the government's MPPF model for developing targets in terms of local planning authorities. But I think they have to come hand in hand, right? So Medway can only handle the housing that its infrastructure can cope with. And I know residents who have written to me hundreds of emails over the past few weeks about this, particularly since it was published last week, expressing that concern around critical infrastructure, including in my own ward, but it will be a significant building around the accessibility for residents who live in the communities already, let alone without adding 50,000 additional residents plus over the local plan period between now and 2041. And the other critical problem with all of this is a lot of the infrastructure planning that sits within the local plan, which is primarily funded through Section 106 developer contributions, is actually latter loaded. So it means that it will actually come towards the back end of the local plan period, towards 2041, as opposed to coming forward when some of the housing will be delivered in the next 5 to 10 years.
The plans are on show at the Corn Exchange in Rochester and on Council's website. Asda bosses have been in court over failing to clean up a derelict building in Folkestone that's been targeted by vandals. The council served a notice to the supermarket to carry out work to the former Store 21 shop in Bovary Place, but it wasn't started in time. The company pleaded guilty and have been fined £650. It's the end of an era for a gymnasium that's been knocked down in Folkestone. The building at the former Garrison Army Camp in Cheriton was used by various sports clubs for decades. It's been flattened to make way for new homes as part of the Shorncliffe Heights development. Business owners in Gravesend are calling for compensation from Southern Water as a main road is closed for ongoing repairs. Milton Road has been closed for repairs for the third time in less than 2 months. Local traders say it's led to a significant drop in customers. The water company have apologised and say the latest round of work will be completed tomorrow.
Kent Online News.
We now know when new overnight parking charges and a ban on caravans will come into force at a beach on Sheppey. Measures being brought in at Shingle Bank between Minster and Sheerness following concerns the seafront was being turned into a squatter camp. Swale Council say it'll cost £15 to park there overnight from August 1st. The management of a sorting office in Snodland has come under fire for having their radiators on full blast despite the heat. The Medway Valley Delivery Office say they can't turn them off due to ongoing issues. It's not known when it could be sorted. A new report has found more than a fifth of Kent's working age population are currently unemployed. Of the 204,000 people out of work, just under 30% of those are suffering long-term health conditions. The figures will go before KCC this week. A reform spokesperson says they're doing what they can to create job opportunities. There appears a giant tree next to a cliffside path in Folkestone could crash down onto pedestrians. Pictures at Kent Online show the pine at a slanting angle on land that's prone to landslides next to the zigzag path on the Lees. Council have consulted with experts and say they have got no plans to cut it down. Now, investigations are underway to find the source of a strong toxic smell that's coming from a new roundabout in Aylesford. The £5 million improvement scheme on the A20 Colt Harbour roundabout was finished last year, but motorists say the unpleasant chemical smell is lingering. Our reporter Ellie Hodgson has been chatting to local businessman Ian Lenehan.
We're standing at Colt Harbour roundabout, which is just off junction 5 of the M20. And in the last 4 to 6 weeks, I've noticed a very strong chemical smell in this quadrant of the roundabout. I drive this roundabout regularly. Three quadrants are normal smelling. This quadrant smells of a phenolic compound, which is a very strong medicinal acid type smell.
And some people might ask, how would you know what that compound smells like?
I work within the medical profession and I use phenol as an element of my work on a daily basis, so I'm very familiar with it. I know it to be a toxin, so when I smelt it here, I was rather concerned about the pungicity of the smell. Prior to the smell here, everything was normal. We lived in the Kent countryside, but beautiful fresh air. This is not fresh. This is toxic. I'm concerned that it might be damaging people's health. We've got the hospital up the road. We've got a hospice over here. We've got new schools being built in the area. I'd like to get to the bottom and find out what's going on.
KCC and the Environment Agency have been asked for a comment.
Kent Online News.
We've been hearing from bosses at Medway Pride who say they've had to charge for tickets for the first time in the event's history. Pride 25 will be the fifth anniversary, featuring a parade through Rochester High Street before celebrations and attractions in the castle grounds. Hilary Cook is one of the organisers.
The difficulty we had this year is There are some national grant providers who provide historically have supported us, and we thank them very much for the support they've given us historically. But unfortunately, demand on their grants nationally is high every year, and it gets higher every year. So they've not been able to support us this year from their national pots, which has left us in a position that we needed to replace those funds. So we took the difficult decision of having to put a price on the tickets this year. But the tickets are going well. There's still lots left, and we've got another drop of tickets, which we're going to drop in the next few days. So people will have an opportunity to get their tickets in. But yeah, it's just one of those things. Everybody struggles financially at the moment, including businesses and grant providers. So we just have to run with the flow. If we get more funding in from other support, because people can still join, sponsor us if they wish, We've still got room to take on more sponsors and advertise them as well across our media. And the more money that comes in from other routes, the more we can look at trying to support people around discounted tickets. So, but yeah, it's going to be a fabulous event, and we're trying to keep the price as low as possible.
Tickets are now on sale for around £11 for adults and £9 for children. The event's on August 16th. Kent and Canterbury Hospital will invest in new high-tech cancer treatment thanks to the generous legacy of a local millionaire. When Whitstable's Hilda Levi passed away in 2022, her fortune was divided between four charities, including the League of Friends at the Kent and Canterbury Hospital. They'll use the money for a new radiotherapy technology, which will streamline treatment, making it faster, safer and more accurate. And a wheelchair rugby club in Kent that was under threat over fears it could lose its training ground will be allowed to keep using it. Gravesend Dynamite has been using the former Northfleet Youth Centre for free, but lost the use of the facilities when KCC changed it into the Northfleet Family Hub. Bosses say they've now been able to renegotiate their contract and are now paying for the facilities.
Kent Online Sports.
Tennis first, and Kent's Emma Raducanu says she's not putting much pressure on herself despite going into Wimbledon as the women's British number one. She's taking on fellow Brit 17-year-old Mimi Zhu on number one court this afternoon. The former US Open champion from Orpington has been managing an ongoing back problem and some undisclosed issues off the court. It could also be the hottest ever start to Wimbledon with temperatures over 30 degrees. To football now, and former England and Arsenal legend Tony Adams has returned to the pitch in Kent for the first time in more than two decades. The 58-year-old, who is the new chairman of trustees at the addiction charity Forward Trust, turned out at Margate FC's Hartsdown Park on Saturday to play in the Emma Urquhart Cup. It's a charity event to raise awareness of addiction. Tony's been speaking to Finn from our colleagues at KMT. TV.
200 degrees out there, I think it was. It's exhausting, but it was definitely worth the cause. I've thoroughly enjoyed it, actually. And one tackle first half, it took me right back there. Absolutely. Wonderful.
Brilliant. And what does it mean to you that the first time you're putting on your boots in 23 years is for the Emma Urquhart Cup? Tell me a bit about that and what it means.
Obviously, I'm the new chair of the Forward Trust.
Boom, boom, boom.
And been in the role about 4 months now, and I came down here. We're particularly strong in this area. Forward Trust have got some fantastic services in employment, in education, housing and recovery. And it's all about recovery. Emma used to work for the Forward Trust, who sadly passed away. She OD'd. And Tony, her husband, is a very great man. He's a great man. And he's been the instigator in this whole day, really. So I'm more than happy to put my boots on to honour Emma's memory, the great work the Forward Trust do here, and Raw. We played against Raw today, Reach Out and Recover. They do a lot of good work also in the area. I'm very proud to be chairman. I'm very proud to put the boots back on.
The match, which was between a Forward Trust 11 and the Reach Out and Recover team, went to penalties, which Tony's side lost. Staying with football, and Kent's Alessia Russo scored one of the goals as England's women thrashed Jamaica 7-0 in yesterday's friendly. It was the Lionesses' final match before the Euros, which start this week. They're playing France in their first group game on Saturday. To cricket, and Kent are in a great position going into day two of their county championship match against Northamptonshire. They're batting first in Canterbury and are due to resume on 3:25 for 4 when play gets underway today. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Kate Faulkner, all one word, at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.